You guys are trying to confine me up here to the pulpit, but I will not be confined. I have to have a little space to move around. This is my favorite place to be alongside here. So, looking around here today, see who's here. I think I know most of you all here. Maybe a couple of you are visiting. Just want to welcome you. Again, I'm Pastor Heath. Today I'm going to be sharing from the Word of God, the Bible. And if you want to know what we are, we're a group of people. We know that we're sinners. We know that we're not perfect. But we know that God loves us, and we know that He gave us His Word. And then His Word tells us everything that we need to know about God and how to be in a right relationship with Him. And so we're here to proclaim that, to share that, to not change it or manipulate it or alter it. We want to shoot it to you straight what it says. And we all want to live our lives based on the Word of God. And so we spend some time together, kind of like huddling together on Sundays, getting together, hearing, you know, what the Bible says, sharing, serving together, loving one another, encouraging one another, having the kind of relationships that God wants us to have. And that's really what it looks like to be the church. And so just very thankful for that. Let's pause and pray, and then we'll get into it here this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can be here together today, and that we can function as a local gathering of your church, that we can serve together, that sometimes we can cry together, we can hurt together, we can celebrate together, we can pray for one another, we can hold each other accountable, we can help each other in that way, we can encourage each other when we're down. Just thank you for your body here at Oak Plain Community Church. And I pray today that you would work through the sermon, that you would also work through the children's church and the nursery and all those times, and that everyone who's serving today would be serving in your strength and by your power and by your might. And Lord, that also you would get through to our hearts where it doesn't really matter how interesting or funny the teacher is. What matters is your spirit talking to that person's heart, and I pray that you do that today. Thank you so much. Pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So we're in the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, just after Psalms. And it's written by a number of different men, but the one man who wrote most of Proverbs was Solomon. And so he's written this first part that we're looking at. And we went through Proverbs 1 in the last, was it 2 weeks? And now we're on to chapter 2. One neat thing about Proverbs is there's pretty much one for every day of the month. So if you want to read through Proverbs, you just take whatever the today is and you read that proverb. That's something that a lot of people do as they read through Proverbs. I just kind of keep reading through it. When I'm done with that, I start Psalms and I go back to Proverbs. I like to continue to read through it. My Bible says this is the value of wisdom, is the title it gives for the whole chapter. I called it something a little different. I says, if you will seek wisdom. If you will seek wisdom. And you'll see why I call it that as you look at it. So here's a little outline of what we see in this passage. So let's look at the outline before we actually read it. Okay? It's pretty straightforward. This is not rocket science today, okay? Amen? Amen. This is like probably at the 7th grade level. So if you're 6th grade, you have to step up a little bit and meet us at the 7th grade level. Can you do that? If you're 6th grade? All right, this is the 7th grade level. Outline. The first 6 verses is what I call the if-then of wisdom. The if-then of wisdom. Now, do I have any computer programmers in the house? Just me? I'm the only one? Okay, well, this is I like this also for computer programming. You know, if this is true, then this is true. Okay, it reminds me of a computer program, the way that it's put. And then you'll see, like, basically what it's saying is, if you will seek wisdom, if you will only seek wisdom, if that's what you'll incline yourself to seeking wisdom, if you will seek wisdom, God will give you understanding and knowledge and wisdom. So if you seek it, like if you want wisdom, if you want to be wise and you seek it, God says you'll find it. you will find wisdom. Now, let's, for those of you who weren't here, let's talk about what wisdom is. What is wisdom? A lot of times we use that word for a lot of different things. We might mean somebody that's really good at doing something, somebody that has a lot of knowledge, they know how to apply it. They might know how to build something or craft something. Do any of you guys play Minecraft? Yeah. Couple of you? It seemed to me like some might say there's a certain amount of Minecraft wisdom that you can have to like build things and shape things, right? I mean, I would say that term could probably be used in that capacity, you know. Now, nowadays, do any of you play Madden? You play Madden on like a Xbox or something? John Madden, the football game? I'm going to say, some might say, that takes a certain amount of wisdom because there's all those buttons and all those things that you have to do. Back when I used to play Madden in 1992, like when it first came out, it was like, there were like three buttons and there was like the little stick, you know, like you had the hit stick that you could hit to like hit somebody really hard. You had the spin button. I like the spin button, but spin around. But it's like, I can't even keep up with all that's in there nowadays. Right? There's a lot in there. And you might be able to say, man, somebody has a lot of wisdom. No matter what it is that you really apply it to, we think in terms of that, but that's really not quite what it's talking about. It's beyond that. It's talking about the things that God cares about. The things that God cares about in us. How He wants us to live our lives. How He wants us to see the situation that we're in. See, you and I, we're not in control of our situation, but we can respond in different ways to it. Like, we can look at our life, we could say, I hate my life, I don't see anything good about it, things are terrible right now, I'm under all kinds of pressure and difficulty, I'm going through these trials, I'm sick, I'm dying, or somebody I love is dying. I mean, we can see all the negative things, we can focus on them, but we can totally forget about God. And Him being there, and His presence, His reality, Him being there, His love, His care. We can forget about heaven and the promises that we have waiting for us. You know, like we've been talking about, like whether it was Vacation Bible School or it's church all along, anything that you're a part of here, what we've been saying, the message is that God loves us even though we're sinners. He sent His Son to die for us. We can believe in Him, receive Him as our Savior, and we can go and spend all eternity with Him. Even though these bodies are getting older, they're fading away, we face different things, no one would ever be able to take Jesus away from you. If you die in this body, it's okay because you're going to go and spend eternity with Christ. And that's something that if we have Jesus, we all can look forward to. We can look forward to that. We can really be excited. And like, if you live that, that's what wisdom looks like. If you live with the understanding that you believe in Jesus and you're going to go meet Jesus and be with Him, that's wisdom. You know, it's not like just a bunch of knowledge in your head and knowing a bunch of things. You got to know about the gospel. You got to know about Jesus, but then it's living it out. And it's seeing things through that and not just through, you know, what's going on. I guess as long as I've been pastoring since before 2011 here, but more officially in 2011, is one thing that kind of got me right away when I became an elder in the prayer requests and things is just seeing how many heavy things people are going through and difficulties that people have. But I've been able to also have the privilege of watching how people respond and how sometimes people respond in the strength of Christ. Amen. And in wisdom. And I really want that for everybody. I don't want you to go through your trials and your difficulties alone, but with Jesus there with you and with that knowledge of Him in your life and that way to see it the way He wants you to see things. So that's what wisdom is. It's really deep. It's definitely not just in our mind. It's in our heart. It goes into our very being. So that's verses 1 through 6. And then 6 through 15 is what the Lord does when we seek wisdom. So He says, if you seek wisdom, the Lord will give it to you. And here's how the Lord will give it to you. So those verses are what the Lord does when we seek wisdom. And then the last part is what I'll call the benefits of wisdom. There's some great benefits to wisdom. So just break this down into three parts. It's very simple. So let's start with the first part. This is verses 1 through 6. It's the if then of wisdom. Or is it 1 through 5? Somewhere there. But okay. It says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your heart attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So it said a lot there, didn't it? There was a lot that was said there. I mean, if I had to kind of sum it up in a few words, just summarize it, is if you will truly treasure wisdom, and if you will seek it as if it's a treasure, and really go after it, and really be looking for it, like how many of you just want to know about God and what He wants for your life? Amen. And how He's going to use you, and how He wants you to see your present situation. But if you will treasure that, if you will really want that, and you will really want that fellowship and to be taught by God, He says, if you really want that, and you really go after that, and you really seek it, then you'll find it. Amen? And that ought to encourage us if we're Christians. If we've been born again, if we've received Christ, that ought to encourage us, because that's a promise that He makes to us. We will find it. We will find the fear of the Lord. I think, again, fear of the Lord is deep. Again, it's deep. It's not so simple. It's like a healthy fear of your Father. That when you're not walking in the right way, when you're not doing the right thing, you ought to be very afraid that you'll get disciplined. You ought to be very afraid. But also, it ought to be, when you're in line with Him and when you're close to Him, it ought to be like an awe and a respect and a reverence that you have for Him. You remember when little kids, or little boys especially, like, my dad is the best. My dad can what? Beat up your dad. Right? You're afraid to say it. You knew it. My dad is the strongest. My dad is the toughest. My dad is the smartest. You know, there's kind of that, there's just this looking up to your dad that's natural that you have. And then, like, maybe sometimes once your kids get a little older, they start looking at you and they realize, wow, my dad's not as great as I thought he was. My kids show me that all the time. They made sure I understood that, you know, right away. But we ought to not lose that for God. Amen. God is the best. God is the best Father. Love God. Want to make Him happy. Want to please Him. Don't want Him to have to discipline me. I know that He has power over me. And I ought to just fear Him because He's so strong. I mean, I think of another way. I did think, like, when I was younger, this way about my dad. I started looking at some other guys sometimes as I was growing up and I was playing football and things. I remember we had this one coach that I just really looked up to this guy. His name, his nickname, not his real name. I don't know his real name, but his nickname was Grape Juice. Grape Juice. I don't know how he got the nickname Grape Juice, besides that he had a tattoo, Grape Juice, on his arm. But he had the biggest arms, and he was this big guy, this really big guy, and he coached us in football, and I just thought he was like about the coolest thing. And really, like, kind of being a little bit afraid of him though too at the same time, you know. But that just is a little picture, just a small picture. It's not even right, but how we ought to be about God. You know, just the fact we talk about God's presence and being here like it's something light. We ought to take that very seriously. The Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth, here in our presence, we're talking about Him and His wisdom. We ought to take that very seriously. So within this fear part, there's this very serious part to it. You know, if you and I could just be like, oh God, whatever. That's not fear of the Lord. We take Him very lightly. He's heavy. He's important. He's significant. And so we'll find that, and we'll find knowledge of Him. So things that we didn't know about Him, we learn to know about Him. And we grow in our understanding of that. And that's what He says. He will give you this if you really seek after it. Amen. Now maybe you might be here today feeling a little convicted. Like, you know, that's not me. Well, you're in the perfect place, because now's just the time to pray, to ask God to put that in your heart. Just to ask God to put that desire for wisdom in your heart. Put that fear of Him in your heart. Put that seriousness in you. We're talking about the most serious and most important things. So that's the if then of wisdom. If you seek it, God will give it to you. Amen? Now, let's notice though the verbs. Notice the verbs here, because there are a lot of verbs here. What's a verb? Who can tell me what a verb is? Action. It's what you do, right? Now, we talk a lot of times in church about it's not what you do, it's what you believe, and that's true in terms of salvation. We're talking about salvation, but there's tons of places in the Bible where we are commanded to do things. We are commanded to act. These aren't the things that save us, but these are going to be the things that we do that allow us to grow closer to the Lord and to mature. Okay, so these are actions. So notice the verbs. So he says, my son, if you receive my word. So he's talking about instruction. So when it says my son, it's more like still the impersonment of wisdom, but it really comes back to God receiving his words. If you receive God's words, you need to do that. That's what you need to do. You need to receive it. So today, what's going on today about 1 o'clock today? Seahawks game, right? Now, I'm wearing my blue shirt. This is kind of my Seahawks shirt that I wear. It's like a blue. I'm not going to go as far as wearing my jersey and preaching with the jersey, but I like this shirt as like a Seahawk blue kind of shirt that I wear, you know. But think about football and quarterback and Russell Wilson in this case drops back, throws a pass, ball's in the air. Somebody's got to catch that pass, right? They have to receive it. They have to bring it in. It's out there. It's right there. They need to catch it and bring it in. And this is kind of how I'm picturing this. Is this what you need to do? God's throwing you the pass. The ball's in the air. You know, wisdom is coming your direction. It's you have to do something. You just can't like stand there with your hands in your pocket. One of the things that when I coach kids, like a lot of times, and I think my kids would even know that, like kids come out like a lot of times in sports like this. And one of my first rules is always take your hands out of your pockets, get them out there, play, get them ready to go, get your hands up, that kind of thing. And it's like that in life. It's like God's throwing you the pass, wisdom's there. You got to lay out for the ball. You got to get it. You got to catch it. You got to bring it in. You have to be receptive. Now, that would be another way I would put it is you have to receive. You have to be receptive. God is not just teaching you wisdom the way you want to be taught wisdom. You might say, God, I want you to teach me this way. I just want to open the book. I just want to read it. I want to get it. I don't want to go through anything hard. I just want to learn wisdom that way. But that's not being receptive to wisdom. Being receptive to wisdom is actually just look at your life and what's going on. Even the things that you are most painful for you, God is right there teaching you wisdom through those things. And like what this is saying is why it's so deep. It's saying what you need to do, because you got to do something here, you got to receive it. You got to be receptive to God teaching you wisdom there at that point in that way. And he says, the next thing is you need to treasure up my commandments within you. So you have to treasure up. You have to treasure. You have to really value. You have to value God's wisdom and his commandments. Like a lot of people think of commandments as, oh, those are the things we can't do. I don't want to do that. Or I'm being told to do something. Those are hard. Those are heavy. But what the Bible, like the picture of the Bible is like when God commands something, when something's wise, it's like it's a treasure to us. Like we want it. We treasure it. We value it like that much. And that's like really the attitude we need to have about God and his commandments and his teaching. And some say, and I've been here before, it's like, oh yeah, church is boring or something like that. Pray God would change your heart, because that is a big problem. Because the fact of the matter is like when I see it, when we're talking about the if-thens of wisdom, the thing is that if you will truly treasure it, God will give it to you. He wants you to treasure it. He wants you to want to be wise. He wants you to want to know about his commandments and what he wants from you. He doesn't want you to go through and make all the mistakes that you can make in life and go through all the different hurts. And he definitely does not want you to be hard-hearted towards him and to be separated from him. And so this is what you're being called. This is what the Bible is saying, to treasure up God's word. But there seems to be like it's an action here that you have to do. You have to make that decision. And I think it does start with praying, asking God to do that in your heart. But it's like there's something like you're saying, I've got to make decisions. And I kind of have an illustration of this a little bit. I use myself because I don't want to pick on anyone else. So I pick on myself. But listen, I stayed up last night till 2 in the morning. And I had a migraine headache this morning. I've seen a spot like right in the middle of my vision. Why did Pastor Heath stay up till 2 in the morning? Well, because there was a lightning storm. And because during the lightning storm, the football game was delayed. And it didn't start again till like 10 o'clock. And I was going for the Huskies. And I was pulling for them. And I don't know, hopefully you all know, they lost, okay? But I'm staying up till 2 in the morning watching the football team. That's kind of treasuring it up there a little bit, isn't it? And I started thinking about this in context of my sermon. It's like, when was the last time I stayed up till 2 in the morning just because I love God and I want to be in His Word and I want to just soak it up and read it and pray to Him and spend time with Him? I mean, I'm using myself as an example, and I bet you could kind of think of it in the same way, but could you think about that? Like, there are things that you treasure up, man. You'd stay up late for, you'd go off, do all kinds of crazy things for, but do you do that for God and His commands and what He teaches you, and do you value Him in that way? And so we gotta do that. We gotta be sure to really do that. And I was convicted of that, thinking about that. You know, one thing, just a side note. Probably my favorite part of the game last night, though, was when I saw my son Sam on TV. It was great. So right after the Huskies scored a touchdown, I thought, that looked like Sam there. And because I knew he was at the game. And I rewinded it on the DVR there. And I, sure enough, it's Sam and his friend right there. They were on TV. So that was cool. So I recorded it with my phone and sent it to him and stuff. Just kind of one more aside. Like me, I try to just be myself up here and to be a regular guy. A regular person. Because that's what Christians need to be, and that's who we are. We don't like all of a sudden come into church and all of a sudden, oh, I'm going to be this holy person. I'm going to act a certain way. I'm going to be myself, and you're going to hear about some of my interests and things. People know I like food. They know I like football. They know I like these things. They know I love my family. Okay. But you should know that to be a Christian is not a matter of like being stuffy or boring or something like that. We have a lot of fun. We do a lot of things, but we want to put God first. And again, we want to treasure up His commandments. He says, making your ear attentive to wisdom. So it's like, you got to decide that you're going to be a good listener. Now, Pastor Lynn told me this thing a while back I thought was really interesting. He said, you know, in colleges, they have a lot of classes on public speaking. They have very few classes on how to listen. Don't you think that would be like a good college class? Listening 101. And they could have that in churches and things too, right? Like we could have that. Okay, most of you guys are great listeners, but every once in a while you encounter somebody that is not much of a listener. They're just more of a talker and they want to proclaim and they want to give something. It's like, hey, we have an introductory class here called listening. We need you just to take that and to just listen for a while and then you can give, you know. Thank you. So, but I think it's more like we could be the most quiet person. We could be the most quiet person with not much to say, but we still might not be listening. Right? You know, I'll tell you a problem is like when two people are talking and one person's talking and the other person's thinking, I'm going to say this. And I think we're all guilty of it, right? I'm going to say this. You're not really listening to the other person. You're just thinking about what you're going to say. And it's something I'm sure that I'm guilty of. But it's a thing we need to be aware of. We need to work that. We need to be good listeners. But beyond just listening to people, we need to listen to God and His wisdom. And we need to just really make sure that, hey, we're willing to listen. We're willing to listen. But it says inclining your heart to understanding. It goes beyond just like hearing it. But it's not even just getting in your mind. When I was in school, did anyone ever tell you the difference between hearing and listening in school? In my school, they made a big deal about that. Hearing was, yeah, it goes in your ear. You caught the sound, you hear it, but you can kind of go in and out of your mind. But listening is you really digesting it and thinking about it and probably responding to it. That's listening. But he says it's going even deeper than that when we're talking about God's wisdom. It's got to go into your heart. So it's got to come in your ear, go into your mind, go into your heart. That's what God is looking for you to do that. And to incline means that you are seeking that. You are wanting that. You are going after that happening. And to change your thoughts about it. All right. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. So if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. So I think, as I've thought about this, like the best way to understand calling out for wisdom would be what I've already mentioned, is praying for wisdom. I mean, who else are you going to call out? Are you going to just go out in the street and call out for wisdom and say, "Hey, I just want some wisdom. Just please, would someone please just come bring me some wisdom?" If you do that, you're going to get some crazy stuff. Now, where is a place that you see very little wisdom? The internet. I say, there's some Twitter. Twitter. You could think, I'm going to go to Twitter looking for wisdom. I'm going to post. I want some wisdom. Would somebody please give it to me? I don't think that's the way we ought to think about it, right? I think the best way I could think of to think about this is calling out to God, praying to Him, telling Him that you want wisdom, asking Him for it, turning towards Him. And like He says, when you do that, He'll give it to you. And then you're seeking it. You're going after it. You're going after it like it's this fine treasure. It talks about silver. Or you're searching for it like it's a hidden treasure. You're just really going after it. You're gonna go after something in your life. Okay, this is where we're kind of the rubber meets the road in wisdom. You are going to go after something in your life. I've gone after many things in my life. Like I really wanted to be a good athlete, a good football player. I really wanted to be a good computer scientist. I did that. I really wanted to make a lot of money and be financially secure. And I've gone after those kind of things. And we all kind of tend to do that. But that's not wisdom. He says it's like going after wisdom and thinking about that as our treasure. I guarantee each and every one of you are searching for things. And God doesn't want you to fill your life with those things. He wants you to fill your life with wisdom. So search for it as for hidden treasures. So what's the object of those? Again, it's wisdom, knowledge and understanding, instruction. It's the Lord's teaching. Now, again, he says, then. So if you go after it, if you follow those verbs, if you really seek after it, it's really in your heart, you really value it, it's really a treasure to you and you seek it, he says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You're going to find it. Now, that's part one. Okay? I'm going to be a little more brief on these next parts. Okay? It says what the Lord does when we seek wisdom. So, spend a lot of time focusing on what we need to do. Now let's say what God does, what God says He does. It says, for the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of His saints. Saints would be like another way to say Christians, you know, born again, His followers. But if you look at what that's saying, it says the Lord gives it. He gives it by His mouth. I don't think that means that He just audibly gives it, but like through His mouth comes the Word of God. Through what He causes to happen, through what He speaks, what His truth is, God gives us that. He gives us understanding. It says He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. You know, for like if you really set your life on living upright and you really do, it's like God gives you more and more of His wisdom. You know, when your heart's in the right place, when you walk with integrity. You know, integrity means that you're not crooked. You know, you're not saying one thing and doing another. You're not manipulating things to make like a financial gain or something like that. You're not cheating on your taxes. You know, it's these things like you're showing integrity. You're showing integrity with maybe it's integrity with what you look at online, what you watch online. These kind of things. There's not like this like hidden crooked you. It's like you're living a straight path. Okay, and there's just going to be more wisdom when you're living that way. It says He's a shield to you. It's like He protects you. He defends you. So I don't know about you, but I want God as a shield and a protector and a rock and a fortress in my life. Amen. Amen? And I know when I get off, if I get off in something else, I get off in those other directions, I am making myself vulnerable to Satan and being, you know, taken captive and carried away. So it says God will be a shield. He's guarding the paths of justice and He's watching over the way of His saints. Amen. Praise God for that. That's what we want. This is what God says He'll do. He says, then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. So having God's wisdom is a very pleasant thing, but you'll understand things like what fairness really is, what equity really is, how God really wants us to treat people. There's a whole nother idea about equity and things like that that's out there that's different than what God teaches and that God believes. But you get real insight into it. Real insight into how to love your neighbor. You know, God will give that to you. That's what He's promising. If you'll set your heart on finding it, God will give it to you. He says, discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech. So discretion is like you're going to be able to make choices about things that are not so black and white. You'll be able to decide what to do in a situation when you have God's wisdom. Like, should I do that or should I not? Should I follow these people or should I not? Should I go that way? God will give you discretion. And in this world today, you need discretion more than ever. Because there are so many things pulling you in different directions. And we need it. We need it to understand things and to walk in the right way. He says He'll give that to you. And that'll guard you. That'll keep you safe. He says it'll deliver you from the way of evil, from the men of perverted speech. What you got to understand, and I got to understand, is that in this life, there are going to be people that come alongside you that are going to try to influence you and get you to get off the straight and narrow path and get you to go in a different direction. Maybe it's going to be to get you to not believe in the Jesus, to not believe in the Bible. It'll be to try to get you to do drugs, to party, to have fun in that way, you know, to do things that are irresponsible, to have sex outside of what God commands in the Bible. There'll be lots of voices and pull in that way. But what He says, if you say like, hey, I'm not, okay, let's put all that aside. What I want is God's wisdom. I want to seek God's wisdom. I want to go after God's wisdom in my life. He says, if you will do that, you'll find it. You'll be able to make choices about those things and the right choices. And you'll have understanding because you have the fear of the Lord then. And you seek God and you seek wisdom. He'll keep you away from that. He'll keep you from becoming one of those people that have perverted speech. And those people, he says, who forsake the path of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Basically, I think you understand this. I hope that you all do. That this Bible, the Word of God, tells us what's right or wrong. We don't come up with it. We don't invent it. We follow what the Bible says. We do it in love. And we don't do it to, we don't want to be judgmental in such a way that we condemn people for things that God's going to forgive them for and that we're hypocritically judging people. But we have to make all kinds of judgments about things, including people and whether what they're saying is right or wrong or what they're doing is right or wrong. But we submit to what the Bible says and that there are so many people that are taking this. They're not even taking this. This is just thrown to the side, but they're teaching a whole new morality about like what's right and wrong. In such a way that it's in direct conflict with this. And no matter how much we love people, we have to not compromise what the Word of God says and say like something's right that the Bible says is wrong. Amen. Even if somebody like wants to do it, even if somebody's like, that's what makes me happy, that's how I was born, you know, that kind of a thing. It's like, well, wait a second. A lot of men were born in such a way that they want to do sinful acts. Does that make it right? It doesn't make it right. We need to submit to what the Bible says. And if we will do that, then we won't go down this crooked path. But like, if you look at what's being described, going the way of the world is a crooked path that's taking people away. But God wants you to be safe. And I tell you, like, turning your back on God and going with what the world says, that is not safe. That is not good. So I hope that's given you a picture, you know, of what's being said here and how we need to go after wisdom and value that. Now there were some benefits of wisdom mentioned here, but here's a couple more benefits of wisdom. He says, so you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. Now, sorry, there's going to be some potentially like almost R-rated stuff coming up here in Proverbs as we look at it and we talk about it. And I'll try to be sensitive to all families here. But we need to talk about these kind of subjects. And this is real. But basically, a lot of different people are talked about in Proverbs. One of them is the adulteress. The adulteress is a woman who's married to a man who willingly is going outside of her marriage, trying to find another man and have intimate relationship with another man, to sleep with another man, to do that. And basically, so much taught in the book of Proverbs, when we get this idea of wisdom being taught to the son, it's like, you, my son, need to be aware. Not only are there men and groups of people that are trying to pull you away, you might encounter a woman who looks very beautiful on the outside, but what she wants to do is she wants to have a relationship with you outside of her marriage, and she wants to set that trap for you, and you have to be aware of that. But if you don't have wisdom in your life, young man, you're going to walk right into that, and it's going to destroy you. And it's only by the grace of God that you can recover from that, and you can be forgiven, and that things can go on. But basically, it's a trap that's right there. And I think what we ought to understand, it's not just for men, right? Women could fall in the same trap too. And we need to really take being faithful in our marriages and our marriage vows, you know, very seriously, not to flirt and open up the doors for things, because next thing you know, you're in that trap right there. We think about even like King David going up on the roof and seeing Bathsheba, and next thing you know, he's committed adultery. And a lot of us think, you know, hey, I wouldn't do that. I can't believe he would do that. But maybe we haven't really had all the power that he had as a king, or been like right there in that situation. But the question is, would you be ready? Would you be ready if the temptation is like put right before you, or if it built up over a long period of time? Or do you know to put the brakes on and to stop things? Do you know to have the proper boundaries in your life to never get anywhere near adultery? Amen? Amen. And it is like if we ignore that, and if we don't have wisdom in our life, let's just say, if we don't have wisdom in our life, we're liable to walk into that. Let's say that you make what is the very common but very bad choice of looking at pornography. Let's say that you do that. Do you know that that opens up the door for you to then commit that sin later on? To not have the control? Like, what makes you think if you can't control yourself from looking at pornography that you'll be able to control yourself if the real thing is put right in front of you, right there? And so that's why these things are really serious, and we need God's wisdom. We need to look at things. Like, sometimes having God's wisdom is like, it shows us how sinful certain things are and what they're doing to us, and what we need to be really careful for. So I know none of you here have that in your life, so I won't go any deeper or anything, right? Well, actually, if you look at like statistics in churches and things, that is a big problem in church. So that's something that if you do have in your life, you need to turn to the Lord. You need to repent of it. You need to get set straight. Maybe you need to get some help with it. It's this very significant thing. And God will be there, and He'll help you through it. And you'll be ready for something like this, you know, when it comes your way. He says, continue to talk about the adultery. He says, for her house sinks down to death, and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain their paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep the paths of the righteous. So instead of going down into that trap with the adulterous woman, because you have wisdom, you will walk with God. You will follow on the narrow path. Okay, now again, it could be the adulterous man. Whatever it looks like, but and there are other types of temptations that are out there, but when the temptation comes, you'll be ready and you'll walk in the right way. Continue, it says, for the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. So when it talks about the land here, it'd be talking a lot about how Israel inherited the land, and they have a covenant with God. But I want you to just think about this for a second. It's one thing to get the land, it's a whole other thing to stay there. And that would apply to like a lot of things in your life. Like, it could be like one thing to get the job, but a whole other thing to make a career of it and stay there and continue to work there. It might be one thing to become a pastor, but to continue in ministry year after year after year and do that is a whole other thing. And he's saying the thing that's going to keep you there in the land, the thing that's going to preserve you and help you to continue it is wisdom and its integrity and its walking with the Lord, that God will allow it to happen. But it really starts with you seeking Him, making that decision to seek Him, inclining your heart towards Him. He says, otherwise, people are going to be taken out of the land. Now, remember, when we talked about Proverbs, we introduced Proverbs, we said, these are general truths. These are general truths. Like, you may be looking and saying, hey, I see some really ruthless people, and they seem to be doing quite well. Hey, in general, this is true, but actually, even if you go beyond just what you can see here, now they're not doing okay. If they're not honoring God and they're not walking with God, you can have all the money in the world. You're not taking that with you when you die. Amen. You cannot stand before a holy God and say, let me buy myself in. You won't be able to do that. So in conclusion, as we look at this, let's remember when we looked at all those good things that God said He'll do, and there were just kind of some examples of them, God will keep His promises. God will keep His promises. We know that. So it's something that we can just count on. You and I, let's remember what we need to do. We need to be receptive to wisdom. We need to receive it, that pass that God's thrown us, His wisdom. We need to receive it. We need to take it in. We need to treasure up God's commandments. We need to really value them. They need to be our treasure, what we really want. What God's teaching is a great treasure to us. It's not just something to kind of get over with, like, oh man, I've got to read my Bible today. It's a treasure. We treasure. We want to spend time with God and learn from Him and learn about Him, learn wisdom, look in our lives and be receptive to what He's teaching us, to what's happening in our lives. Be good listeners, just really attentive. Like, make it so that God doesn't have to hit you over the head with something. Bam! I've been talking to you. Okay? Be attentive to wisdom. Be a listener. Okay? You and I, here's some other things that we need to do. We need to incline our hearts to understanding. Remember, it's not just a matter of the ears or the mind or something like that. It goes into our hearts. We want God's wisdom in our hearts. He says we need to incline them. So we need to do things like I did, like where I said, you know what, Heath? Man, you stayed up till 2 a.m. for a football game. You really love football. Do you love Jesus that way? I need to do that. You need to do that. We need to say, I need to be honest. I need to say, you know what? You know what? I need to make some time for you and me, God, to spend in that kind of way. My wife might be here also saying, that's kind of crazy. You stayed up till 2 a.m. for a football game too. Incline our hearts to understanding. Pray for wisdom. Raise our voices. Call out for it in prayer. You know, when's the last time you just did that? And maybe you did it today, maybe you did it recently, but you just praying to God, you know, like, God, I just want your wisdom. Maybe some of it might be like, I have this one thing that's really tough. I'm trying to understand it. God, would you please just give me wisdom in this situation? Maybe this is one person that you may have trouble dealing with, but God, please give me wisdom in this. And just asking for and calling out and praying to Him and lifting up your voices again and again and just seeking Him. It's like knowing that you're not just going to get it yourself. You're asking Him to give it to you. God, please give it to me. Please give me wisdom. Praying for it in that way. And then the last one was to seek wisdom. Search for it as for hidden treasures. Because it's so valuable. You want it so much. You go after it. You put so much effort into it. So much of your heart because you value God's wisdom that much. All right, last thing I would have for you is I just want to read this passage and close with this. We're not going to sing today. We're just going to close right here. But it's from Colossians 2, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. It says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face." This is Paul talking. He says, "That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." So when we think about the fact we've been talking about wisdom and loving knowledge, basically all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, we find those in Jesus Christ. So to know Him and to grow in our relationship with Him, to spend time with Him, to love Him, to learn about Him, to study to Him and to seek Him out, that's where we're really going to go to find all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Amen. And so I guess just in the simple conclusion to all this is, you've heard all this, I've presented this, but today, listen, today, are you going to turn your heart to Jesus? Are you going to turn your heart to loving Him, to following Him, to seeking Him? Is He going to be your treasure, or is something else going to be your treasure? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this morning. Thank You for our potluck and fellowship and our time together and our service. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit that helps us to understand Your Word. And we are thankful for Your wisdom and the things that You teach us. And I just want to confess for us all, Lord, that we are stubborn, we are prideful, we are distracted. We don't care often about the things that we should. We don't have the interest level that we should have. We don't treasure Your Word the way that we should. But God, I pray that each and every one of us would be cut to the heart today, that we would be convicted, and not in a way where we're down on ourselves. We're just understanding who we are. But we know that we need to turn towards You, and that we can at least just humbly ask You and call out to You for wisdom and just say, God, please give us wisdom. Please give us understanding. Please put our hearts in the right place, and help us, Lord, just to be able to share that with our neighbors, to love people around us and to be able to share it with them too. Thank You so much. Prepare us as we leave this place. Just show us what You want us to do. Equip us for every situation that we'll face. Thank You so much. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.